I think maybe the reason that you hopped on when you did is you got my message over the phone. But in case you didn't, my mom and my stepdad gave me the go-ahead to corrupt the diamond that you gave me. And we actually plan on doing this tomorrow. And as long as you don't have anything that you're doing tomorrow, since you live so close to Walt, if you can run and get it and come by the house, I'm sure that my stepdad would not mind you helping us out. Because I think all he thinks is that we're just putting an antenna 25 feet up in the air and running some coax underneath the house. That's if you can come. If you can't, I understand. Just come when you can. KO4WWZ.
So, give me just a second here. KO4 NU East, stand by.
Go ahead and give you the story on Wednesday night while we're waiting for Chad. So, on Wednesday night, I had checked my phone, and I found out I can't remember how I found out. It was a notification, or I think it was Facebook. I found out that a severe thunderstorm warning had been issued for parts of my area. So I called my friend, WR48M, who is part of the Pickens County Aries group, and I asked if he would like for me to go ahead and be on frequency so that if I needed to tell him anything, or if they needed my help, I could be there on standby to help them. I'm going to let the repeater drop just a second. I started out with trying to use my new HDs I got from him, and I couldn't really get it to transmit well in the house, so I came out here, to the car where I had my max track and 2 meter longer band antenna. And I got on the 145.420.K9.08 repeater. And when I had the first tongs, I called Net Control up there. I told him that the lawyers checked me in and all that. In between my next transmission, I checked the app called Radar Scope on my phone, which is a professional level radar. And because I like meteorology so much and ham radio, I'm able to actually interpret Doppler radar. Letting the repeater drop. And I turned on the radar and started looking. I found that in the Sigarez, in the velocity mode, which is the measurement of wind speed within the storm, that there was numerous signs of radar indicated rotation to the west of 6 Mile. And I saw that there was no warning dots around it. And I was beginning to get concerned because I didn't hear anyone on the net discussing that rotation. They were focused on the severe storm to the north of Pickens County that had just moved out of Pickens County. So I called Net Control and I told him, I informed him, and I said, Net Control, this is KO4WWZ. We have what appears to be radar Doppler indicated rotation just to the west of 6 Mile in Pickens County. I want you to be advised that there could be a possible tornado on the ground in 6 Mile. When I told him that, he said, thank you for bringing that to the net.
All
I got cussed out for it.
KFMWZ.
Miss Breeze, I ain't got a license yet. I'm still studying. But, yeah, I got cussed out because I heard you. You did it right shortly after I did. You might not have heard it. But I was looking at that radar myself, and before Channel 7 said anything about it, I put out an alert myself. And then the Spartanburg County set up all their sirens, and then it come on TV. And then you said something about it.
Thank you for that. But anyway, Daniel, and I'll get back to your station and all that. But anyway, Daniel, I called that in, and I tried to inform Net Control a couple of other times that the rotation appeared to be strengthening, because when those reds and greens become a little brighter, that means that the wind speed and the rotation is getting stronger. Now, when you see that on radar, that doesn't mean that a tornado is on the ground. All that means is that there could be a tornado on the ground, but there is a definite possibility that the storm is definitely rotating. About 15 minutes later, my friend Steve, KD4KHI, had called me and told me that he heard me call that over the repeater in the Skyhorn net, and he told me that just as I had reported that, there started to come in reports over the emergency scanner that he has damage on Shady Cliff, Red, and Pickens, and it took the National Weather Service, the GST, 30 minutes to even put out a warning for that rotation, which is now a confirmed EF2 tornado to touch down for 6 miles.
I sent you screenshots. I was watching the same thing. I knew exactly where it was. Me and one of my buddies were talking about it, about how the screenshots I sent, if you look in the top left-hand corner where it has the time, it has a green oval around it. That's the indication that I'm on a phone call. Me and one of my weather buddies were discussing that right there, too, and kind of in disbelief that the National Weather Service did not have a warning out for it, KJ4WZM. This is not the first time that there has been a damaging tornado on the ground without a warning or tornado warning or a severe thunderstorm warning with it. The other time this happened in recent history, I'll have to go back and get the date on it, but I was personally chasing a storm that had been tornado warned. It had been in Georgia, and I caught it near the Pelzer area and followed it all the way through Simpsonville, and it touched down. It was an EF1 through Simpsonville. It tracked along the ground for nearly 20 miles or so. I was chasing that storm, and I was trying to talk to the people at the National Weather Service office because they didn't have a warning out for it. The next morning, they finally opened my messages and got back with me about it, but when I was chasing it, it was nighttime.
Person to talk to about going storm chasing with. But anyway, yeah, going back to what you said about messaging the National Weather Service, I had actually sent them a message on Facebook Messenger, and I sent radar image, and I sent a text saying, "Are you guys seeing this?" And they didn't even say anything to me. Like, it's like they didn't care.
29690, zip code of Simpsonville. I noticed a whole bunch of power flashes coming from over there. As I entered downtown, I got stopped at the red light at, Street Simpsonville, and noticed very large tree limbs falling out of the sky, roughly around the police department. ahead of me, about one block in front of me. I had my high beams on, and I all of a sudden saw a whole bunch of large tree branches falling down out of the sky. Tree limbs, whole trees were coming down and stuff like that. I couldn't see a tornado, but I saw all the debris going like crazy, and I chased this storm all the way towards, it was all the way through, headed towards Spartanburg County. I kept on this storm, and it crossed the road and ran parallel to East Georgia Road for several miles, but it was in very close proximity, so all the wind.
You two doubled, KI4LCI.
Yeah. Can you go ahead and repeat that entire story for me? We doubled, and I didn't hear everything you said. I'm very sorry about that.
I chased it through Simpsonville. First, it was on my right side, and then it went. It beat me by one city block in Simpsonville, and switched to being on my left side. So the whole that whole time, I was running right with the tornado as all the stuff is falling out of the sky, and all these power flashes were going on and things like that. It created a lot of havoc in Simpsonville. It didn't have a warning on the storm at all. It didn't even have a special weather statement with it. National Weather Service got with me the next day. They said, oh, we seen that you were going through the same area as a tornado. Well, what we suspect may have been a tornado at the same time. Did you see the tornado? I said, I can't tell you that I saw a tornado because it was nighttime and I couldn't see it. What I can tell you is I've seen a massive amount of wind damage and I saw a lot of debris falling out of the sky and a bunch of power flashes. They asked me again, did you see the funnel? I said, no, I didn't see the funnel. There's a lot of damage there, but I couldn't see the funnel because it was nighttime. So they said, well, we got a survey crew out there. We'll let you know what we find. They got back to me and said it looked like it was an EF1 tornado that was on the ground for several miles and thanked me for trying to report it to them. But they got back to me the next day.
I'd say there's a little late on that one. But yeah, when I doubled with you, I was trying to tell you that at the same time that I reported that on the K908 repeater, I saved the radar image, like a screenshot, through RadarScape, and then I sent it to the Weather Service in Facebook Messenger, and I texted, are you guys seeing this? And they had nothing to say to me. Until I said, well, thank you. I texted them the next day. I said, thank you guys for doing what you did last night, which I felt like saying something a little more blunt and attention-grasping, but as angry as that made me that they didn't even catch that, I couldn't say that to them. Over. And Chad, if you're still in there, if you're ready to transmit, go ahead.
Hey, channel
KI4LCI. Andy, I'm KO4MUE, KO4WWZ. Are you ready?
Off the radio.
Give me just a second.
Check-ins I got. Have a message anyone for check-ins. Please call KJ4WZ on my net control.
I think I done a pre-nat earlier, and I come back in here and turn it on. Are y'all still in here? When it comes to things like it happened Wednesday night, like that, if there's tornadoes popping up all over the place, they get kind of real, real busy and backed up, and they may not get a warning out for everything, for all the tornadoes around that's popping up. KI4LZI.
Check in KO4YKT, that's Kilo Oscar 4, Yankee Kilo Tango. A little late, but I'm checked in, hopefully. I'm clear.
Patient.
Roger, Mark and Inman.
4YKT, Mark and Inman, is that correct?
That's correct, thank you.
Do I have any last check-ins? Please call KJ4WZM. I'm getting ready to close out the net.
KJ4WZM, Chad is still on frequency. I just sent him a text. He's currently tied up at the moment, but he will get back to us.
Can I going to go ahead and type up my net report then. I got 57 check-ins. If you don't mind, I'll go ahead and post it.
Do your thing. I'll be right here waiting.
KDM now securing the Blue Edge internet with your thanks for checking in. We'll now return the theater back to normal amateur use of 73s, and good night.
Hey, Daniel, can we maybe go storm chasing together soon?
I'll have to catch up with you sometime about that. I do use radar scope, and I'm actually on the Allison House spotter thingy as well. I don't think I have that turned on right now, but I can turn it back on, and I'll have a little red dot on there.
I could get involved with that. I don't really know how. I think they're very strict about who they let on their Allison House stuff.
KI4LCI. Channel, I don't remember if you told me and some of the others not. Have you ever had the Sky One training yet?
I contacted NWS and I did the Sky One training twice. And both times they forgot that I was an officially trained spotter.
Got multiple ways to do it. You can. Here lately, they ain't done much in person training, but you can go online on WX4PG.org part that's on the weather page part of that, or either on, I can't remember if it's on the weather page or if it's on the other for the other stuff. Well, I looked at certain things and forget, but somewhere on there, there's a place in there where you can take, it'll send you to where you can take Sky One spotter training online.
Yeah, thank you, Andy. I really appreciate that. And, Andy, how much do you like the meteorology side of things?
It's on maybe the links part. I was around here when all that was going on, but I was pretty much just listening in, pretty much, because I wasn't in the areas where all the severe weather was going on. Most of it was, as you say, around the 6 mile area, and KK4GTI John down there at Sunset, he had a little issue, but by and large, most of it was on the other end of the county, and, Daniel, go ahead and pick it up.
I have also done the Skywarn training stuff, both with the National Weather Service in person and also on the internet. I've done Skywarn since I got my license, actually, and that is one of the reasons why when they asked me explicitly, had I seen a tornado, I said no, I saw the effects of one being there. Because what they tell you is you have to be very specific. You have to be 100% certain that, yes, you saw a tornado. You can't just say, well, I saw the power flashes and tree branches coming down. That is definitely a tornado. Unless you actually see an actual tornado, you can't say that you saw one. That's one of the things that they go over. You have to be very, very specific about what you saw.
The main reason why I said what I said and how I addressed the radar indicated rotation is personally because I love the weather so much. My brain has me programmed for what I should say and how I should say it. Over.
KI4LCI. You need to, you said you done took it, but I never gave you the acknowledgement for it. Well, somehow or another, you need to go through all that Sky One spotter stuff. I know, I remember when Daniel done it years ago, too, who was in here with us. He and I was out at a class out there at Pickens one time when they was doing it in person. So I know Daniel's done it. You need to take and go through that. Get them to acknowledge you somehow the way you do it, and plus, GSP Regional Sky One that K908 runs, they've got a website. Our WX4PG website, I think, if I remember correctly, will direct you to that as well. It will, on the links page to the GSP Regional Sky One website that K908 is involved with. There's KK4NTI is involved with. Somewhere on their website, they've got a list of things that they want you to report when there's something like that going on. You know, the estimate of wind speed and such as that. You need to look at that, Chandler.
Let me take a look at that. Thank you, Andy.
I bet all myself because, as Daniel said, he and I was one time years ago, he and his family was out here picking one time when we was. You need to check up on all that stuff there, and the people on the Skype One, on the One system, the K908 repeater, will appreciate a whole lot more if, you know, you just tell them what they need to know. No extra. Just what they need to know, because there's lightning in everything, storm-wise. KI4LZI, go ahead, Daniel.
And Chandler, I was wondering, what subscription level do you have on RadarScope?
Tier 1. I would love to get the Tier 2, because it has the SPC outlooks. It has pretty much everything weather enthusiasts could dream of, but man, it's like $100-something a year. That's a lot.
It is.
I actually just did that recently. I jumped up to Pro Tier 2. I've run Pro Tier 1 ever since I found RadarScope years and years and years ago. It's like I can't really remember when I got it, but it was back in the 2000 and mid-teens when I got that. I think it's been that long. It's been a while. But I just bumped up the Tier 2 level a few months back, and it's really, really neat. I get to go back and pull radars so I could go back and pull Wednesday's radar if I want to and go through and find out exactly when all the tornado stuff went on and take screenshots of different things of all four layers, 1, 2, 3, and 4 of the velocity stuff and send it to you so you could see how well organized it was from top to bottom.
And I'm not sure if you know or not, but there was a degree long correlation coefficient.
That generally shows up with stronger ones. I don't really see a debris ball frequently with a 1 or a 0, but it frequently starts showing up with 2s, and it's always there by 3.
Well, this one that the debris ball was on was the one that the GSD Weather Service had confirmed in EF2.
As a CC on that. Then that was a radar-confirmed tornado that they should have put out a warning for. That's crazy.
Yes, and my suspicion was, and I did not see this, I had a friend on Facebook who is a weather enthusiast, and he also uses RadarScope. And I will send you those. It's not a terribly big degree long, but it was obvious enough to be noticeable. It had low correlation value.
And I don't know if this is on the Tier 1 or not, but recently when I updated the app, I realized that I have actual satellite imagery on here. Like, it gives you a satellite map, so you can see landmarks and everything. I have it zoomed in. On the Pro Tier 2, you can get a lot more roads and stuff. All the roads show up, but you can now have a satellite image overlaid with a halfway see-through radar over top, so you can see everything that you can see the storms that are going over specific areas. The radar now goes over a satellite map.
You want Tier 2 so much right now.
B.
Hey, Chad.
What'd I miss?
There's a storm, stories.
That's about something outside storms. All right, the coax. Don't think I'm going to be able to help you with the coax tomorrow. My wife is out of country, and she's coming home tomorrow, so I don't think I'm going to be able to help you with that. Now, I'll be probably back up your way next week sometime. I'll be glad to do that, and I'll... But I can't do it tomorrow.
All right, Chad, I understand. I appreciate you being willing to help me with this when you can, though. So what I will try and do, I guess, is just maybe try and get the antenna fixated onto, I guess, 25 foot of PVC pipe. Is there anything else that you suggest that I put it on beside PVC pipe?
I guess that would work. That might be a little high for PVC, but if that's what you got, that's what you got. But I'll give you a holler on the landline maybe this weekend, and I want to go by and visit with Walt anyway, so if he's volunteering something and I'm coming that way, then I'll drop it off for you, and we'll go from there. How about that?
Good, Chad. 50 feet of coax would be enough, wouldn't it, at 25 feet?
Your question, Chandler, I missed it.
Would 50 feet of coax be good at 25 feet?
4 in UE, so... Well, that just depends on how far it is from the house. The less coax you have, the better. Yeah. So I don't know where you want to put it in the yard or in the house, but or on the house, but you need to keep it as short as possible.
KI4LZI. And this Chad found that in his early days here. If it's going to be too far away, you better use good, thick coax. Not RG58U or RG8X thin coax. You better use good, thick coax. Chad will tell you that would be a good idea if you have to go too far away from where your radio is.
I believe we're going to try and get it right outside my window. I'll tell you that my mom wants me to run the coax underneath the house because there's already a hole embedded in the floor where we used to run a cable television coax, and that would probably be the best thing to do as far as running the coax. Yes, but putting the antenna up, I believe when I could get it right outside the window.
KO4NUE, so, alright, so you need me to help you get the antenna up? Is that what I'm hearing?
Kinda. I think it would be more getting the coax up to it, because I think tomorrow we're going to try and get it on something to stand it up outside the window. And as for standing it up, I don't think that will be able to be done, since how we got it to a lightning rod, I guess, 6 foot under ground to prevent lightning strikes. But I believe tomorrow what we will probably try to work on is at least getting the antenna It's fixated on something. It's got 25 foot in the air. Now, we do also have some old chain link fence poles that we might could use as well.
One thing, JI4LZI, just as we encountered Wednesday evening after dark, wherever you put this antenna up at, you better be able to withstand pretty good wind speed. Now, I don't know if you go up, you was talking about plastic pipe going up too high. I don't know, you know, without something to reinforce it, being guide or something, if you go up too high with just plastic pipe, how well that would withstand a lot of wind. But you need to consider that. JI4LZI.
We also have some old chain link fence type things that we would generally use to make a chain link fence. But we might could use those. Those seem to be a lot more sturdy than the PVC pipe.
Sir, the wind, too. Well, let's see. Who's supposed to take it here? Let's see. You still in there, Daniel?
For WWZ, for ID, for KO4NZ, KI4LZI, and KJ4WZ.
Daniel, go ahead, KI4LZI.
I'm still here, and I'm looking through radar scope right now. They have, they've changed a lot of stuff since I last looked in here and gave a whole lot more options than there had ever been before, which is really awesome.
You're making me want to spend a lot of money, dude.
You out of it, that's for sure.
So, let's channel this back up to one step here. So, did you, are you, do you want, do you need help getting the antenna up, was my question.
Go ahead and say yes, I do need help getting the antenna up.
Okay. Now that you, now that we, I'm clear with what, you know, what you need. There's a couple of rules that I have with putting up antennas and coax. Rule number one, I don't go anywhere that is going to put me in contact with a spider. Rule number two, I don't go anywhere that's going to get me within 50 feet of a spider. And rule number three, I don't like spiders. So I will help you get the antenna up, but the coax, if it needs to go through the window, hey, not a problem. But the second you open that crawl space door, no sir, not going to happen. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
Chad, don't worry about going through the crawl space. That will be my job. I can do that. I've crawled under this house a total of two or three times. I'm not worried about it. I can run the toilets anywhere underneath this house that we need to get it. You just worry about staying out at the crawl space, and I'll do the crawl space work.
Okay. Well, I'll be Liberty Way after the weekend, I guess, and I will drop it off there and help you with the antenna. So, what else? Tell me everything that you have. So I kind of know where you stand. Just, so list off your supplies for me.
X58 antenna, 2 meter, 70 centimeter dual banded, with the coax extension that you gave me to go with it. A VHF 2 meter monoband Motorola Radius GM300, 16 channels. It includes 147, 195, and the 16 repeater. also a Motorola 16-channel model Gradius UHF radio monoband 70 centimeter, which includes the 443-450 digital SMTG repeater. Other than that, I have the power cords for both of those radios. I do not have anything to work as a power supply. I do not have anything to indicate SWRs on any radios, any of the two radios, and I don't have coax. I might have some stuff around here that my parents will let me have to use to put the antenna up there. So I'll get back with you on that. But as for having radios and the power cords and the antenna, and the antenna coax extension, I have that. Over. Friend on Facebook who knows a lot about Motorola, and he said that I need to get a switch to run the UHF and the VHF together. I cannot use the radios at the same time on just one antenna. I will have to turn one off and use one at a time.
I'm gonna be calling the Tuesday night nets. for much longer because you are sounding really, really good. I mean, I'm just amazed, Walt, and I'm so happy for you.
When I clock in the morning, I have no idea where it's going to lie on that spectrum of time.
That's absolutely fine. I'm usually done working by 1 o'clock to 4:30. At the latest, 5 to 5:30. But yeah, I should be able to make that work. It might be an hour or so after you get off, but I'm sure we can work something out.
I more frequently get off work somewhere between 5 and 6:30 than any other time slot, but I have gotten off as early as 3 and as late as 8:30. But I normally get off work between 5 and 6:30.
Alright, Daniel, I'm going to go ahead and say 7-3s. I'll be clear on your final. This is Kilo Oscar 4, Whiskey Z. Good night to you, KK4, WZM, and I'm looking forward to having another key show with you later on down the log. Good night, God bless, and hope to see you soon.
Talk to you later, Chandler.
Mr. 4, Whiskey Z, I am clear and secure in my station for tonight. Good night to everyone still on the frequency, and God bless.
Clear.